How are things coming? Is everybody feeling like you're arriving at a final design that you have confidence in? I had a question yesterday about the input. I want to make sure everybody is noticing this. So the input as specified for the competition, 60 volts in series with a 10 ohm resistor, right? So what is the input voltage to your converter? Not 60. 60 at zero power. As you draw power, it's going to drop down, right? And if I pull 1 amp, I'm going to get 50 volts. The N is 50 volts times 1 amp is 50 watts. I need to run to 60, right? So even though that's 60 watts from the source, you need to be 60 watts into your converter. So this is not your maximum point, right? Does that make sense? So your conversion ratio, if you want to keep a constant 12 volts, is going to be changing as you change the power. The intention of it. Okay. That's clear. There's no other questions. So on Monday, we'll have the complete design details due. Give me a write-up. Again, I don't want that to be superfluous work for you. It doesn't have to be a lab write-up. It's not an introduction and conclusion and discussion. It's a, here's how we selected to build this. Here's how we know it's going to meet all the specs. Okay. Just the detail showing me that you've run through everything and considered the operation and the selection of all the devices. Okay. I'm thinking next week, I'll email out about this, but we may try to set up some times outside of class for me to meet with each group individually and go over your design. So directly after turning in this design, Monday, you should begin work on layout so that you have a week and a half and can get all that done and ready to be submitted. Once you have that, I'd like to meet with everybody and talk through your design, make sure I can hopefully catch anything that you've missed before we go to fab. So I'll pick some slots, email out, ask for everybody to sign up for a time to meet with me. Okay, if no other questions, we've been talking about this sinusoidal approximation for AC link converters, where we are taking a DC to DC converter, and everywhere in the middle in this purely AC tank, we're approximating by looking at only the Fourier series expansion at the switching frequency. Assuming that our tank is high Q, we are operating at a frequency near resonance so that all harmonics are going to be pretty well attenuated, and we can, with some validity, approximate the behavior in here as only the fundamental. So we went through it last time and did the switch network at the input so that if this is some VSI voltage source inverter, it's going to generate a square wave voltage from a DC voltage input. We can approximate that square wave voltage with just its fundamental component, which is 4VG over pi. Then what we get out of it is a sinusoidal current whose amplitude and phase are really dictated by the tank, which we don't know when I'm looking just at this bridge. So we kind of say the tank is going to cause some phase V in between the input voltage and current, and it's going to result in some amplitude of the current IP1. And both of these things, V in and IP1, we're going to find later by looking at the tank itself. So we're going to look at the input impedance of the tank, the impedance seen by the inverter, and its magnitude is going to dictate IP1, its phase is going to dictate V in, right? So looking at our input currents and taking the fundamental component of the voltage VP. Went through and averaged the input current to get the DC component of it, and ended up with a model of our switch network here, where I have at the input just my DC component. My input voltage source is loaded by this DC current source, and then that transfers over to the sinusoidal voltage source that the switch network generates if we only consider the fundamental, and it's going to have some resultant current depending on the tank. And just to verify we didn't make any mistakes, we checked power balance on this model, found that average power coming from the source is average power going out to the tank. Makes sense. Haven't included any loss mechanisms here. Okay. So the next thing we need to look at is the diode rectifier. And really probably the same process of looking at the waveforms, approximating with their fundamental, and then figuring out what the model of this thing looks like. So I'm going to look at my VS and my IS, which are the current and voltage here, coming into this diode rectifier. And I am assuming that my capacitance here, C, is large filter element, so that via out, I can apply small ripple, and it's really just the DC value. So what I'm going to start with is I'm going to assume that my IS is really defined by the tank. It's some sinusoidal current coming in. Okay. So this current is going to have some phase shift that I don't know at the moment. I'm going to call this phase shift C sub PS. It's going to be the phase shift between the primary bridge switching and the secondary bridge switching. Okay. If my diodes are perfectly ideal, then my voltage waveform VS is just going to be V out when the current's positive minus V out when the current's negative. Right? So my VS is going to look like this. Going from V out to minus V out. Okay. So IS, my current coming in, is already approximately just the fundamental component. I'm going to give this an equation. It looks like some amplitude times a sinusoid at the switching frequency with a phase shift of PS. For VF, I now do need to run some calculations to figure out what the fundamental component is. Looks something like this. VS1 is also some sinusoid. With its own amplitude and with the same phase shift now, if these diodes are ideal, it's going to be synchronous with the current. VS1, however, I can write an expression for using really the exact same process we did here. Here I took a square wave, found a sinusoid in phase with it. I found that the fundamental component of a square wave is 4 over pi times the amplitude of the square wave. So the fundamental component here is going to be capital VS1 is equal to 4 over pi V out. Same as before for the derivation of that. Yeah.
Is this phase shift just the difference between the bridges?
Right. So this phase shift, I kind of, in my equations, have defined zero time as the point where the primary bridge goes high, right? So if we go back here, I defined my VP such that it had zero phase shift, had an amplitude of 4 VG over pi, zero phase shift. So I'm referencing everything to that time. VPS is however far behind that the diode switches. Okay, so that is the amplitude of my voltage. Similar to what we do with the input bridge, the other thing I want to look at is what happens at the output. And since my output is DC, I'm going to be looking for the average value of the output current. So my average value of I out, capital I out, I can define that as the integral over a period of I out. I can also look at what's the waveform going to look like and is there any symmetry I can play on. So with how I'm switching the diodes synchronous with the current, my output current is really just going to end up looking like a rectified sinusoid, not rectified in any particular special way in any timing. It's just going to be the absolute value of this sinusoid. Right. So that's half cycle symmetric. So I can say I out is the integral over a positive half period of IS1 dt. Okay. And I'm going to intentionally write it this way because if I just look at the integral of a sinusoid over a half cycle, like say it's 2 over pi, we've already solved this a couple times now. If I want to write in from 0 to Ts over 2, related to the question that was just asked, I'd have this phase shift, and I'd have to worry about how I rectify, and positive during this portion, negative during this portion. It's just going to make my math hard, but I don't care which half period I integrate over, so I'll pick this one, which is just the integral of a sine from 0 to pi. So from that, I out is equal to 2 over pi IS1. And that's my DC component of this. Capital I out. From that, now I can get my output voltage because if C is some large filter element, I'm going to apply cap charge balance. I'm going to say this is the average current at I out. There's zero average current going down to the cap once I'm in steady state. So this has to be the current through my output resistor. So V out is equal to I out times R by cap charge balance. And the reason I need to add this statement is because I out is this current, whereas IR is in time some different current, but average value has to be the same. Okay. And if I plug in, then V out is 2 over pi IS1. My key results here. So what is my model of this thing now that I've solved this? Well, if I'm looking only at the fundamental component, what we found on this slide is that the voltage and current are sinusoids with different amplitude, but with same frequency, same phase shift. Perfectly in phase, same frequency. Okay. So if I have some port here where my voltage and current are in phase, same frequency, just different values, what kind of element does that look like? So I put a current in, I get a voltage out, that's same frequency, same phase, just different level. So resistive element, right? So if I look at it, my VS1 over IS1 is equal to VS1 sine of omega ST minus VPS, where IS1 sine omega ST minus VPS. These things will cancel, is equal to VS1 over IS1. And then I can plug in for these things. So VS1 is 4 over pi V out. IS1, I'm just going to leave as IS1 for the moment. And then I'm going to plug in here, V out is 2 over pi IS1. This becomes 4 over pi times 2 over pi IS1 over IS1. These things cancel. I missed a R here. Excuse me for that. V out, I plugged in I out, but V out is I out times R. So when I get here, that'll be important. So this times R. Now my VS1 over IS1 is equal to, combine here, 8 over pi squared R. And I'm going to give this a name. I'm going to call it RE, some equivalent resistance. So if I do that, the model of my diode bridge becomes RE, which is 8 over pi squared R, which loads my tank, VS1 and IS1, and then that links over to my DC output source, 2 over pi IS1 is equal to I out. It runs to my output, which is a RC load network. Okay. Questions on that so far?
The same R, right? The RE is
this R, is that R, right? And we got that by saying IS1 dictates what the output voltage is, and the output voltage dictates what VS1 is, so that linking back through the output is where we were able to eliminate IS1 and find that this is only a function of the load resistance, which is the scaled version of our actual loading resistor. So this model is valid for voltage loaded diode bridge. Okay. So what needed to happen for this to be true is my output voltage needed to be constant. The diode bridge was then driven by a current, and everything stayed in phase, so I can get this reduction to just an equivalent resistance here. Okay. If I start looking at a synchronous converter where I control the switch timing of both the primary and secondary bridges, I have nothing dictating that that secondary bridge is going to be in phase. And once it goes out of phase, it's no longer resistance. Okay. I'm controlling the switch timing whenever I want it to be. I can make that voltage square wave phase shifted with respect to the current. And now it's not going to look like a resistance. It's going to look like a phase-shifted voltage source. Okay. You can go through and solve the same things. But this is where this is valid. the voltage. So I need a dial bridge to say that everything's in phase. The voltage loaded aspect of it is I have a clamped voltage constant across this dial bridge. That's what I get when I have this big capacitor holding a constant voltage. If I change the design of my rectifier, and for example, put an L here that was a large filter element that held a constant current, what I'd end up with is instead of when my diode switch, my voltage goes between clamped V out and minus V out, when my diode switch, I go between positive IL and negative IL, current loaded diode full bridge. Same process applies. The difference is the result we got for V, we get for I, and the result we got for I, we get for V. In this case, without doing the full derivation for a current driven diode bridge, we'll get an RE is equal to the inverse of what we had here. It'll look like pi squared over 8 times R, just because my voltage and current coefficients are going to swap, because now my current's the square wave. My voltage results. Okay. The utility of that, what we'd like to do is keep the diodes conducting during the entire period, always have one pair or the other on. If I have a tank that, for example, has a capacitor here, a shunt capacitance in my tank, and what would happen if I did a voltage loaded diode full bridge is I'd have this big section in the middle. As my voltage VS transitions from minus V out to plus V out, it would just circulate through that cap and none of the diodes would be on. If that's a long portion of my period, it can result in diminished power. Okay. So you can run it that way, and if you can make that transition small, it'll work, but most often if you have shunt capacitance here, you're going to see a current loaded full bridge. Okay. Get rid of that. Okay, so now I've got a complete equivalent circuit. If I plug in the models I got for my primary bridge and for my voltage loaded diode bridge, where we solve expressions for each of these values. IG was 2IP1 over pi cosine of phi in. VP was 4 over pi VG sine of omega ST. RE, 8 over pi squared R. I out 2 over pi IS1. Okay. So now we've got these things that we may not know immediately. IS1, IP1, Cn, that are still a part of this. These are going to be determined by the tank. Okay. And kind of by inspection, we can figure out how all these things depend on the tank. So this phi in was the phase shift between the voltage and current on the primary side. That's really going to have to do with what is the input impedance of the tank and what is the phase of that impedance at the switching frequency will tell me the phase between this voltage and current. That's going to be this phi in. IP1, the amplitude of the current IP, is also going to have to do with Vn, but have to do with the magnitude of it at the fundamental frequency. And if we apply 4 over pi Vg, divide that by the magnitude of the impedance at that frequency, we'll get the magnitude of the current at that frequency. And then for IS1, it's going to depend more on the transfer function of this tank. This tank being nothing but passive reactive elements, I can solve for voltage to voltage transfer function VS over VP. That'll tell me what the voltage is, VS. Then I can say VS over RE is IS, and the peak of that is IS1. Okay. The other thing that's going to be important as we begin modeling this is the output impedance. Okay. So give a specific example a bit later in lecture, but for the moment, trying to abstract from what's actually in this tank. Our analysis can be valid, whether this is series resonant or parallel resonant or LLC or LCC or something with a bunch of harmonic filters in there that has 20 passive elements. We can look at just input impedance, output impedance, transfer function. We can still solve the operation of this converter. Okay. So, as an example of that, here I can solve for the output voltage, just looking at what I have so far. I'm going to do that. I almost do it on the next slide, but I think I can fit it here. So my output voltage, the out, what I'm going to do is start from the output and kind of step back using transfer functions that I know. Okay. So from V out, I know I out. Ratio V out over I out, that's just the resistance R. Then from I out, I know IS1. By this equation, I out over IS1 is just 2 over pi. And from IS1, I know VS1. So that's here the voltage and current on this resistor. For the current over voltage, this is going to be 1 over RE. And then from VS1, I can jump back to VP1. Thing that gets me from this voltage, so that voltage is the transfer function of the tank. Here I'm just looking at magnitude, so this is going to be H of J omega S. And from VP1, I can jump back to VG. According to this here, when I'm looking at just amplitudes, that's the ratio of 4 over pi. Okay, take this 4 over pi and combine it with all this stuff and plug in for RE. It is, yeah, it is equal to R 8 over pi squared, 1 over RE. If I plug in, RE is 8 over pi squared R. Magnitude of H of J omega S. This stuff all cancels. And I'm going to get V out. Here I've converted over, so if I multiply by VG, I'll get my numbers back. So my M V out over VG is magnitude of H of J omega S. Okay. Because what I'm left with here, cancel, 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 is V out over VG. Right. Okay. This is again limited to the types of bridges that we solve. So this is valid when I've got a voltage source inverter and a voltage loaded diode rectifier. Showed if I plug in for a current loaded diode rectifier, this section would change. Instead of having an 8 over pi squared, I'd have a pi squared over 8, and it wouldn't fall out to be just the transfer function. There'd be some scale factor there. Similar thing if I did a current-driven inverter instead of a voltage source inverter. But for this, then, I can figure out the operation of my converter really just by looking at and designing the tank. So we did this. I'm going to loop back to this one. The first thing I want to do is look at the tank behavior, and I'm just going to do an example of the series resonant converter. So, example for the SRC, my tank looks like LC. And now, as I'm examining this, my input side is going to be the voltage source dictated by my inverter. My output side is going to be the diode load, RE. So, looking at VP, VS, and this is going to be loaded with some equivalent resistance, RE. So if I look at the input impedance, VN is going to dictate the switching behavior of my primary bridge. It's going to tell me the phase of the current and the amplitude of the current that's coming out of that bridge. So for ZN, I'll look at just the magnitude and allow you to infer the phase. So I'm going to have series L, C, and R. And magnitudes of all of these in my Bode plot. And from these asymptotes, I can sketch approximately what my input impedance is going to look like. Going to come down, follow the capacitance at low frequency, the inductance in high frequency, because all three are in series. I'm taking the largest asymptote, except right here at the resonant frequency where the impedance of the LC goes away and my Q takes me down to an impedance RE, all that's left in at the resonant frequency. Okay. So, first question is, where do I want to operate this thing? So where on this curve would be a good choice to set my switching frequency? So I probably want to be close to the resonance if I want to have this sinusoidal approximation be valid. Right. If I want to be able to get reasonable power out of it, I want a low input impedance so I can push current through. So somewhere in the vicinity of that dip, I'm kind of narrowing down into this range. Anything in that range good? Somewhat symmetric, so, oops. This is my F naught. I can get the same magnitude of impedance over on this side or over on that side. Do I care which side I'm on? Right side. Decrease the harmonics better. There we go. That's what we're looking for. So you want to have an inductive load to this full bridge for the reasons we talked about earlier. That's going to give me positive phase shift. That's going to give me the chance to get zero voltage switching. If I go over to the left, then at the fundamental, my loading is capacitive. That means I'm not only going to lose EVF, but I'm going to have additional capacitive losses that I'm hard switching. Okay. So I want to be designing so that FS is in this range. So this, save myself some room for this next plot. Include over here on the left, I definitely am not getting ZEF. Over here, my current's in the right polarity. I could be resonating but not meeting my ZVS condition. Could be that I resonate halfway to VG and then half the hard switch. All I know is that I've got a chance. It's pushing the currents in the right direction, phase shifted in the proper polarity, so that my current's going to be in the direction that ZVS needs. Amplitude to be determined. Okay. So the problem with the SRC that we showed in some plots earlier. So as I change the power through it, I'm going to be changing my loading at the output, changing my resistor, which is going to reflect through and change RE, right? Because RE is 8 over pi squared R. So as I start increasing that resistance, it's going to shift this asymptote up, and my input impedance is going to, as it increases a little bit, look like this. As it increases more, it's going to look like this. As it continues to increase, I'm going to start to get kind of some pole splitting, two separate poles eventually. I'm going to be way up. And as RE goes to an open, my input impedance is an open in series with an L and a C, but that's an open, right? So if I set my switching frequency here, when I've got enough load, things look good. I've got inductive loading on this. But as my load decreases, as my resistance increases, I'm going to lose my inductive loading. It's going to look more like resistive loading. I'm not going to be able to get ZVS. So I'm going to lose ZVS at light load. And no matter how far out I go, that's going to be the case. Even if I put FS way out here, at light enough load, eventually the impedance at the input is going to look like infinity everywhere. It's going to go to an open. Other tanks can remedy that, but in order to do so, I need some sort of a shunt path. But as my load goes to an open, I still have some impedance presented to the primary bridge. So it needs to be something like a different color. Adding some shunt path to keep a minimum loading on that bridge and have it still look inductive at light load. Okay. Down below, the plot is the transfer function of this, H of S. So, worry about the orange inductor I just drew, still just looking at the series resonant converter. H of S is RE over SL plus 1 over SC plus RE. This thing in the denominator, SL plus 1 over SC plus RE is the input impedance, all three in series, right? H of S is just the inverse of ZN, which is going to flip the thing. And then RE divided by that, which is going to normalize so that at F naught, my impedance is always unity. Okay. The impedance of this thing at the resonant frequency, these two cancel out. I've got a plus J and a minus J with the same magnitude. These two cancel out, so the N is RE always. My H of S is always going to be unity right at the resonant frequency. So if I plot these same kind of curves, my H of S is going to look like this for low RE. As it increases in magnitude, it's going to look more like this, eventually like this. So this, as I increase RE, same thing here. Okay. So at heavy loading, some small RE, I'm going to get behavior that looks like what I want. I've got a lot of attenuation to all my harmonics, zero attenuation of my fundamental. My sinusoidal approximation is going to be valid. What I'm going to have in the tank is going to look just like the fundamental. Right? As I start decreasing the loading, increasing RE, now I've got unity gain across the wide band. All my harmonics are going to be coming through the tank. Make sense? Okay. Last thing here that I think is interesting to see. Here I'm going to look at the output characteristic of the converter. And because to get to the DC, all I'm doing is multiplying by scale factors, 8 over pi to get from RE to R, and 4 over pi to get from VGE to VP. I'm just going to look at the AC section of the tank, but I want to look at the output plane of this thing. So that output plane is the relationship between the output current and the output voltage. And as I change one, how does the other change? So just to put some things on here that kind of show what this is, if I had a resistor and I plotted it on current versus voltage, for example, my RE is going to be a straight line like this with a slope of 1 over RE. If my resonant converter behaves just like a PWM converter from 481, like a CCM buck. CCM buck, the output was V is equal to DVG. It's a constant voltage source. That would look like this, right? As I vary the current, the voltage doesn't change. And if I include losses, maybe that bends a little bit, but it's more or less just vertical. I control the constant operation. I just get a voltage out. What do I get out of this resonant converter? Okay. In order to solve this without going into the details of the specific tank, what I'm going to do is if this tank is reactive components only, I have nothing but passive elements in there, L's and C's, then I can approximate everything to the left of this load resistor at some Thevenin equivalent circuit. Okay. So taking a port right here and looking back through the output impedance, I can say this thing looks like Thevenin equivalent with some source, Vx, and some impedance, Zx. And that'll give me the same characteristics as my actual port when I connect the resistance. Okay. But I need to figure out the value for this voltage source and this impedance. So they are going to depend on the tank implementation, but we can write these in a way depending on characteristics of interest about the circuit. So if we think about this functionally, if I was hooking up different resistors here and trying to figure out this black box model, this voltage and impedance, what might I do to figure out those elements? Well, the easiest thing would be if I hook up zero resistance, then the voltage here should be this voltage, right? If I had RE go into an open, then whatever voltage is here is going to show up on my output port. So my open circuit voltage VOC is equal to, well, it's going to be whatever my true input was, my VP, times the transfer function through the tank when the tank has no load, when RE goes to zero. I'm going to write this as the tank transfer function H I'm going to put an infinity here times VP. And I should go to my sinusoidal approximation. So this would be VP1, where H infinity is H of J omega S evaluated with RE goes to infinity, right? And as we saw with the previous one, H is a function of RE, right? Because it's loading that tank, consider it. Okay. And that's going to be my Vx in this model. Okay. And my Zx, by similar arguments, let's say is looking at the output. If I can shut off or nullify this source so it looks like a short, the impedance I'd see from the output is just Zx. So I can express Zx as the output impedance Z0, where Z0 is output impedance at the frequency evaluated with Vp goes to a short. So here, I would short out the input port and then look back at my output impedance. That gives me my Thevenin equivalent model. Okay. Now, from this model, if I write an equation for what is Vs as a function of this input source, it is Vs is just Vx times Re over Zx plus Re. Plugging in, Vx is H infinity VP1. I'm just going to use VOC. And here it is whatever the open circuit voltage was, times Re over Zx, Z0 plus Re. And then this equation, I'm going to multiply this denominator over to the left. That'll give me Vs times Z0 plus Re is equal to VOC is Re. And then I'm going to divide VOC Re over to these two terms. So this is going to look like Vs times Z0 over VOC RE plus, here my REs will cancel, I'll get Vs over VOC equal to 1. And then on this first term, I'm going to rewrite grouping the RE with the Vs and the Z0 with the VOC. I'm going to get Vs over Re over VOC over Z0 plus, so VOC is equal to 1. I'm rapidly running out of room. Vs over Re is IS, the output current. VOC over Z0, open circuit voltage divided by the series impedance. That's my short circuit current, what happens when I short the output. So this whole thing looks like, and we've got space here, Vs over VOC plus IS over ISC is equal to 1. I'm going to abuse my notation because these transfer functions and other things are complex in nature, and I'm just looking at magnitudes. So to get to just my magnitudes, I'm going to go through and take magnitudes of everything. To make this look a little more clear, I'm going to square the entire equation. And what I've got now is a relationship between VS and IS when I'm trying to plot. It looks like this. What does this equation look like when I plot it? Flips. It's not normalized to any way that's going to give it the same amplitude on both, so it's going to look like some kind of ellipse where I go from ISC to VOC. I have some behavior that looks like this. Okay. So with my old CCM buck, if I change the load around, I jump up and down this line, but I keep a constant voltage. The resonant converter, as I start changing the load, I'm going to be changing both voltage and current. My equivalent load changes, I jump to different points. Wherever my load line crosses my output characteristic, that's my operating point. Wherever the VI relationship of this thing I'm hooking up matches the VI relationship of the thing I'm hooking up to, that's my solution, that's where I'm going to operate. And now as I go from short circuit to open circuit, I'm going to sweep out this ellipse. Okay. This ellipse, not a particularly great shape. That's one of the issues with resonant converters, is figuring out how to control this to get me a behavior that I want. So I may, for my load, want it to look like a constant voltage source. Maybe in some cases I want it to be a current source. Maybe in some cases I want it to be a power source. The product of I and V is equal. This ellipse is not very well suited to be any of those, right? This is the ellipse I would get for one mode of operation, single frequency, single converter structure. As I start changing around the switching frequency, I'm going to go to different points on this curve, which is going to change my effective impedances, can change my transfer functions, and it's going to change the amplitude of this ellipse moving in and out. But if I want to be a constant voltage source, I'm going to have to be constantly changing the switching frequency, for example, so that my ellipse crosses this voltage source, so that as the resistance changes, I keep things here. So if I wanted to be this voltage when I'm this resistance, when I change to this resistance, I'd have to change the switching frequency and find another ellipsoid that crosses there, leads down the path of frequency modulation, which is used in these resonant converters quite often. I'm out of time. So let me know if you have any questions before Monday related to the design competition. Otherwise, meet again on Monday to review design competitions and set up times outside of class to go over those with you. Yeah. So you can...